Hear the Drive Guys with Kevin Gleason and Kyle Draper.
Well, how you feeling now, Kings fans? Yeah, what a night. I was confident yesterday, but I had no idea it was going to be like that. We celebrate the big win today. Whitey Gleason, and how about the call from Kyle Draper last night on TV?
I told you, man, they needed a win. They said, Drapes, we got to have you on the call. And that was a great game to call, man, because we pretty much controlled that thing for most of the game. And everybody contributed. My guy Keegan Murray with some of his dunks. Davion Mitchell,
yes.
Which I said yesterday's show, look for Davion. He came out fired up. And to have that kind of game, not against the Charlottes of the world, not against the Utah Jazz, but against the top four
quality
team,
opponent.
It was great to see last night.
And I don't know, you mentioned earlier, maybe the Clips were a little road weary, but it looked like the Kings just snatched their souls last night.
Yeah, I thought, you know, the Clippers, it may have been in the third quarter or whatever, realized, you know what, we're not winning this game.
Yeah.
You know, and here's the thing about James Harden, and we'll talk about this game over the next 4 hours, obviously. The James Harden we saw yesterday sort of reminded me of the James Harden against the Celtics in the playoffs last year. You know, where he just checks out, just, you know.
Non-factor,
exactly. And I think part of that has to do with the Kings' defense. I think it was Trey Lyles who said it. They, you know, followed the defense to a T, the game plan. But they took him out, you know. And I said it during yesterday's show and during the broadcast. Sure, no Kawhi, but you still got Hall of Famers. They didn't play like Hall of Famers last night.
Right. When you have a ball-dominant point guard and he's not a factor, that kind of derails your offense.
Right.
And you're right, because Trey Lyles mentioned last night the game plan. Davion came in and mentioned the game plan and how the Kings followed it. So when Coach Brown came out, I asked him, hey, these guys are talking about the game plan. What did you appreciate about the way they followed the game plan? And he didn't get into any specifics. He just said, oh, you know what? We're not practicing. We don't have time to practice. We're just showing the guys film, and they're able to take that on the court, and that's great. But I realized there were some things defensively that he didn't really want to share with us.
Right.
But whatever it was,
we might
worked.
See them. We might see them come playoff time. And, you know, I thought, you know, because a lot of times, you know, I've been in those film sessions. I've been over in some of those things, and the coaches will say one thing, but then you get to the game, and it's completely different. It's like, no, that's not what we worked on.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, they were in lockstep, man, and it was great to see. That was a defensive masterpiece I thought the Kings put on.
Mm-hmm. We got Simone with us today. Jay is still a little under the weather.
Oh, she got her Kings shirt, too.
Yeah, she was out there last night courtside.
Exactly. I'm like, how'd you get the hookup, Simone? I saw that picture you posted.
I got friends in low places.
It's good to see you out there yesterday, though. That had to be fun.
So excited to be with you guys today. And, yeah, yesterday was awesome. Thanks for having me.
That was quite a win and a feel-good win. And I don't know how you felt yesterday, but I did. I didn't know why, but I felt optimistic. I don't know what happens from here. But I just think this team right now is really responding to the fact that they're kind of the underdogs again completely.
Yeah, and the way they played, you know, a little chip on their shoulder.
Yeah.
I thought Trey Lyles was huge. This is what's so crazy about this NBA season, Whitey. And we'll talk about this in Drape's Takes coming up. Yesterday at this time, we were talking 7-8 seed.
Mm-hmm.
I walk into this building today, I'm like 5 or 6 is still in play.
Yeah,
that's crazy, right? Like we were, you know, a lot of us were resigned to the fact we're going to be a play-in team and, you know, it's going to be tough and all that. And then you wake up today and you see you're only a game behind the Pelicans, only a game behind the Dallas Mavericks. And you're thinking, maybe, you know, being hopeful over these last 7 games.
And you, things can change a lot between now and the end of the year. But as of right now, I believe you actually have the tiebreaker over the Mavs. You trail them.
Yes.
But you have the tiebreaker based on conference record. Of course, that's not the case with the Pelicans. But I just thought the way the Kings played last night, remember we said we're going to know a lot more about them after they play that game. They looked like they understood what needed to be done. And for one game anyway, they did things that to me appear to be repeatable. I mean, I didn't see anything they did last night where I said, well, you know, good luck doing that again. Because they didn't even shoot the ball well.
They didn't shoot well. It was just mostly effort, right? It was energy. It was playing together. It was ball pressure. You know, I thought, you know, Davion did a fantastic job defensively. Obviously, Keon got into early foul trouble. But I think the Trey Lyles component, and I'll talk about this coming up next segment, is really huge for this team, you know, and Trey does more than just knock down the corner threes. Defensively, he's tough. And Katie talked about it during the broadcast, you know, his ability to switch out and guard guys, the ability to go small if needed. Trey Lyles is an underrated piece of what's going to happen here these last seven games.
Bench played really well last night, right?
Yes.
Way back when the Weber, J. Will, Kings were starting to make their mark, there was a nickname people around here had for the bench. They called them the bench mob.
Yeah.
It was like John Barry and, you know, Vernon Maxwell. Yeah. And the guys would come in and really have an impact on the game off the bench. So I was wondering, I wonder if this bench bunch needs any kind of nickname. I saw last night Sign Lady and Nico, her husband, they had a sign last night that said bench mob. Was it bench? The new bench mob. That's what they're
really.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I, you know, bench mob 2.0. I don't know, or something different. But
are we just ready to go there already?
Like, I don't know, but maybe I've taken this down a road where we shouldn't go. But my point is, the fact that we're even talking about that, other people are talking about that, says that all of a sudden this bench is developing some kind of identity.
Yeah, and I said something crazy to begin the season. I don't know if you remember. I said they could be the best bench in the NBA. Now, it hasn't panned out that way. But think about what we saw last night, you know, with Davion. He has really progressed and become, you know, a key rotation guy. Trey Lyles, what he can bring. We haven't even seen Sasha scratch the surface just yet. Chris Duarte scratch the surface of what he could do. And my guy, Alex Len, you know, and we had Alex Len on the post-game show yesterday.
Oh, Mike Brown was gushing about him last
dude,
night.
Because it's not about the points and the rebounds. It's about the impact. And he, in that first half, him and Davion, I thought, were the, and throw Keegan in there as well, were the three most impactful players in that first half, I thought.
Yeah, this is, I think it's like the fifth time in the last 12 games that the Kings have held the opponent to under 100.
Mm.
You consider where we were for most of this year, early part of the year. That's remarkable.
Yes, this defense is a different kind of defense. And we talked about it in the first half of the season, like their inability to stop the point of attack. You know, it wasn't about, you know, rim protection or anything like that. It was, you know, guard your yard, be out there and defend at the point of attack. And that's something I think they've been doing a tremendous job as of late, especially since the All-Star break. When I look at what they've been able to do, give Keon Ellis, my guy, a lot of credit there. He's been, don't give me the side
Simone
eye. Don't give me the side eye there. Don't give me the side eye. But, you know, Keon Ellis, just what he's given this team, and I understand he was in some foul trouble yesterday, but just another body out there at the point of attack. I think that's been huge, you know, for the Sacramento Kings. And I got the numbers right here, Whitey. Since the All-Star break, the Kings are 12th in defensive rating.
Yeah,
I'll take that. I'll take that. You know, Mike Brown always talked about, can you be middle of the pack, top 15? They're doing that since the All-Star break.
What do you make of this? Mike Brown, as we know, has been preaching defense, 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 defense all season long. Back into last year, there have been a lot of people this year, a lot of fans who've been critical of Mike Brown. Some even, oh, Brown's got to go. Mm. Well, you look at these numbers that we're talking about here, how well this team is defending right now at the most important part of the season. I think you have to give Mike Brown a lot of credit for that.
100%. And I don't know where these Mike Brown haters come from. They're trolls, you know,
coming
out
from. They went back.
Right. They went back under the rock that they came from, right? Like, Mike Brown is doing a heck of a job. And we had some of the Nuggets broadcasters on earlier this year, and they talked about, you know, how the job that Mike Brown is doing. First of all, the fact that he has not lost his team at any point this season, because it's been some rocky losses, it's been some tough times. But guys have stuck together. Guys, it seems like, have bought in. And the thing that I like about Mike, and we talked about this a lot during the first half of the season, that maybe we should just embrace the offense. You know, if you're not good at defense, well, at least be great at offense. But Mike, from day one, has hammered, no, 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 we got to play defense. And he talked about it last night. They're playing like a playoff caliber style right now.
Right, right. Yeah. I don't know for sure. I think maybe he's feeling a little vindicated. I hope he is. He certainly deserves it. But last night after the game, he was talking about, people have been saying, whoever he's talking about, I don't know, but people have been saying, we got to score 120. We got to score 120. We score 120, we'll win. And he said, no, you don't. No, we don't. Not this team. We do not need to score 120 to win. So it's not only is it working out, but it's been – I mean, really a stark contrast. Yeah, I think the way they're officiating the games has a lot to do with that, but the Kings deserve credit for being in position and having the mindset to take advantage of that.
And are you surprised that they've embraced that way of playing defense, considering the rules changes or the way things are being called? Like, did you think this team had that in them to be more physical, or were they just going to be a finesse team all the way through?
I thought they'd have the ability to take some strides in that direction. Mm-hmm. I didn't know it'd be this dramatic, because we know that Mike Brown, the way he's been preaching defense, the way the officials now are calling it, it's like, okay, you can do that more, you know, because, you know, he get up on the dribbler, put your chest in him.
Yep.
And, well, it's a foul. Well, now it's like, okay, now they're not calling those fouls. So, I thought they would help them, but I didn't know it would help them this much.
Yeah, and I remember earlier in the season, Chris Duarte, to your point, he would do guarding with the chest, but he'd be called for the foul, and he'd turn to Mike and be like, Mike, what am I supposed to do?
That's what you told me
to
do.
That's what you told me to do, coach. And now he doesn't, those aren't being called as much. I think that's fantastic. You know, I look at our perimeter defense, and we don't have the biggest of guys, the strongest of guys, but we have guys that are quick, that are very active with their hands. And, you know, I give Davion some credit. There was one time where James Harden tried to post him, I think, and he ran into a brick wall, and Davion just denied him. And so I think, you know, the toughness of Davion, of Keon Ellis, that fight that they have in him is helping this Kings team down the stretch here.
I think that's a great point you made about the active hands. I think that's an aspect of defense. It's very important. It's very easy to overlook, you know, because we talk so much about position and strength. But just a guy like Keon Ellis –
yeah,
your guy, Keon Ellis.
My guy, I've been telling you. You got to get some starting minutes for Keon Ellis. No, but you're right, man. It's just his activity. You know, he got the three quick fouls yesterday and was hard to really get into a rhythm. But
he still had seven rebounds.
But he still had seven rebounds. He still contributed a very solid defense. And defense is more than just moving your feet. Defense is more than just using your body. You got to have all of that, and I think Keon does a great job.
If you're out front and you're on the perimeter and you get the ball and you're getting trapped by Keon and Fox and they get going, that's tough.
It's like
to get the
Tasmanian
ball out of
devil out there, right? Just hands moving and everything, and they're so cat-like quick too with it too. And so it's like one minute you think you're fine, the next minute they pounce on you, and you're like, whoa, what am I supposed to do here? And so they can cause some havoc in that backcourt.
I think they did last night. Yeah, you want havoc, you want Drapes Takes right back with those next Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.
Malik was a key piece in our offense, scoring the ball, facilitating. I just kind of listen to the coaches and take what the defense give me. They kind of tell me to just be aggressive. You got to be more aggressive. I mean, those shots are going, those points are going, so be more aggressive throughout the game.
Your afternoon home for Kings Talk and so much more. The Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.
Davion Mitchell last night post-game, and again, we get back to the job that Hal Draper did on the YouTube chat here from the end. Drapes is a legend.
My guy. Appreciate that. That was a fun one, man. That was a fun one because it's been a while since I've called one. Mark's called the last three or four. I think he has the next three or so. And so it felt good to be back in the big seat calling that game last night.
There was really good energy in there last night, huh?
Yes, yes. And it was something you talked about, too, with the crowd. Like, this was a game where we needed the energy from the crowd, and I thought they were up pretty much the entire game.
Mm-hmm. You want energy, you want Drapes Takes, and here it comes!
Calm down, Lion, calm down! Take it easy, man, just take it easy.
let's do it, Sacramento Kings fans, what a game. And I'm going to do it sort of chronologically from last night, if you will. I'm going to start off with my guy, Keegan Murray. I thought Keegan came out with the right mindset, came out on fire. The fact that he took 18 shot attempts again as well, that was an ugly game to start. Nobody had it going, but Keegan Murray did. 18 shot attempts, Whitey, but only 7 of them three-pointers. So he wasn't just settling. You know, the dunk he had on Zubac, you know, the dunk heard around the world. This is the Keegan Murray we need the rest of this season. We talked about it at the beginning of the year. It can't be no 12 shots a game. Keegan Knight needs to be 15 to 18 to 20 shots per game. He's that good, and I like what I'm seeing from him these last few.
He's playing like he has a very clear idea of what exactly he's supposed to do right now within this offense. And the shot he made, the end one where the ball came off his wrist,
oh, yeah.
I guess that was an indication of what kind of night it was for him. And the Kings, I've never seen that.
Right.
And, you know, he kind of looked up like, what?
That was it? Right. Yeah, so that was beautiful to see. And I think, you know, we're in for a treat these last seven games with him. I think this will be the best stretch of the season for Keegan Murray.
Are you saying Compio's right? We're going to get 23 to 29 a game?
I don't know. I would love that.
Okay.
I would love that. And our guy Compio said 23 to 29 for Keegan. You know, he's been on a tear as of late. I thought last night, 19. I'll take 19. It doesn't have to be 23. I'll take 19 and being impactful. Speaking of impactful, I want to shout out these guys individually, but as a collective unit. The Bench Mob, or Bench Mob Part 2. And let's go through the first half of that game. I thought Davion Mitchell, he's just been amazingly efficient over the last 2 months or so. And here's the thing about Davion. He took 7 triples last night. When's the last time Davion took 7 triples in a non-garbage time game, mm-hmm. in an important game? I like his confidence.
He was probably a Baylor.
I like his confidence, his ability, and his willingness to take that shot. Because this is one thing we know about this Mike Brown and Jay Triano offense. Ain't nobody going to turn around and be like, dude, why are you shooting so much? And so I think we're seeing the best of Davion, and I couldn't be happier for this kid. He's playing so well right now.
That's one of the most relatable things about this team right now. Guys like him and Keon playing so well and clearly enjoying the fruits of their labor. They've been working so hard at getting to this point.
Exactly, and he stayed ready. You never saw him moping or pouting or talking in the media or anything like that. That dude just kept staying locked in, kept going to work. Shout out to Davion. I got to continue with the bench here. My guy, Alex Len. I've been saying it from day one. Alex Len is a pro's pro, Whitey. He's not going to try and do anything too fancy. He's not going to hurt you when he's out there. He looked like an enforcer out there.
Mm-hmm.
The block shots that he had in that first half, finished with 3 block shots.
He got the crown, right?
Yeah, he got the defensive player of the game crown yesterday as well. Alex Len should play every single game because he's always a positive, I think. The energy's always there with him. The effort, you know, he's always in the right place at the right time. He's not going to be too wild or anything like that. Alex Len has been great, man.
Isn't it funny? It was just about a year ago with about 7 games left where he started playing again.
Right. He was buried on the bench, and we were like, oh, I forgot Alex Len was on the team. And he came back, and he's been great last year, end of last year, and this year. And then my guy, Trey Lyles. Trey Lyles is the difference maker for this Kings team. We talk about who's going to replace Malik Monk. Nobody can really replace Malik, but we can get a lot more from Trey Lyles than we saw earlier this season. What we saw last night, that should be the norm, in my opinion, for Trey Lyles. The dude took 11 shots. He let it fly last night. He's a great defensive player. He can switch off on smaller guards. He has a toughness. I think Trey Lyles, think about this. Only his 2nd game back, Whitey, and he played that well. He's a big part down the stretch for this team.
That's why I did a song about him on Twitter.
I saw that. I had to block you or mute you after watching that. I was like, ooh, this is kind of painful. And so shout out to my guy Trey Lyles, man. He was good.
The most interesting part of what you just said to me is the fact that he seems to be taking over for Malik, not just in terms of points, but in terms of that, I don't know, emotional component, you know, that he is now like, all right, guys, I'm our emotional leader now.
Right. You see him out on the floor. I mean, the way he rebounded yesterday, he had a couple of offensive rebounds where he just came in from nowhere. It was just like, oh, man, I didn't even see Trey coming. And the fact that, how about this? He had 5 assists.
Wow,
that's Trey Lyles had 5 assists last night. Give the man some credit. Here's my final Drapes takes, Whitey. And you may think I'm crazy, Sacramento Kings fans. You may think I'm drinking that purple Kool-Aid. You may think, you know, because I'm on the payroll, I'm saying this. I said it last segment. I woke up and looked at the standings, and I said, why not aim for 5th? Why not? We're talking 7th, 8th, playing. The fifth seed is still within our reach. Mm-hmm. Clearly, we got to beat the Pelicans, obviously. You got to get some help. Hopefully, the Mavericks stumble a little bit. This game against New York coming up is massive for Sacramento. And I know it doesn't factor into the tiebreaker when it comes to the Mavs because it's against an Eastern Conference team. But right now, you need wins. And any pressure you can put on the Mavericks, I'm not talking about playing anymore, Kings team fans. I'm talking about 5 or 6 seed for this Sacramento Kings squad.
Wow. We may need a slogan from you. You know, like in the past, like baseball teams, yes, we can. Why not us? And I don't know if you have anything, but it might be helpful.
Yeah, yeah. I'll come up from with something. You.
Coming from you, it would mean a lot.
Yeah, I'll come up with something by the end of the show. I will definitely come up with a
kind
slogan.
Kind of a rallying cry here.
Exactly. Yeah. I got you covered. So that's Drape's Takes right there. It is brought to you by Alsco Uniforms. We see them at the Kings game all the time. Discover why it pays to keep clean with Alsco Uniforms.
Thank you, Drapes. Do you know if they ran the Trey Lyles press conference live last night? I know you did the game. Do you know on the post game? Because
I don't know if he did.
He said some words you're not supposed to say on TV when he first came out. Yeah. Someone asked him, is it great to be back? And he said, man, I'm tired as bleep.
I heard that. I think I might have been listening to the radio post game show and maybe I heard that on there. But yeah, it's, dude. He played Trey Lyles 26 minutes last night and only his second game back. I thought that was huge last night for the Kings.
Yeah. Oh, we do have that sound? Can we play it? Is it okay?
Broadcast
it's
worthy?
It's kind of edited.
All right.
I was tired as today, but it felt great to be out there with the guys competing, playing together. We're playing hard. And it's always nice playing at home, but the last 2.5 weeks was tough for me just having to sit back and watch and not being able to go out there and try to help the team out. But, you know, now being back is obviously, you know, where I want to be. So I'm happy about it.
And he talked about, you know, as long as we play hard and use that term again that I think he used after the team meeting, as long as we continue to hold each other accountable.
Yes.
Not everybody on the team could say that.
Right. And here's the thing. It's not on the coaches to do that. Like, that's what we've been wanting from this Kings team is like for players to take ownership. Mike Brown's talked about that.
Yeah.
For the players to take ownership. And it seems like it's starting to click right now.
Mm-hmm. And he also spoke about how, look, you know, no one is in any way glad that Malik's not there. It's a still potentially devastating blow for this team. But this is true. You know, he talked last night, Trey Lyles did, about the fact that, you know, there's more shots now in the offense.
Yeah.
And basketball players at any level, hey, there's more shots now.
Okay.
Yeah, let's go.
I'm going to eat that up,
exactly. So yes. He recognizes that. It looks like Keegan is, okay, well, yeah, those are my shots now. You know, you're not seeing the reluctance that we saw from Keegan before. We'll see. Still, we got, 7 games left here. But it looks like they have a real keen understanding as a team of how they need to play to make up for Malik's absence.
I think we're seeing that with each game. And, you know, Keegan Murray seems to be, you know, a big beneficiary of that. And he got the memo. He got the assignment.
Didn't he almost smile?
No, he did crack a little half smile, I think. Yeah, he did. He did crack a little half smile. It's funny because we showed him during pregame introductions, and I didn't know when he gets introduced, he does the 2 thumbs down that Malik gave him. And so he did that even before the game and then cracked a smile. And so it may not look like the kid's having fun, but he's having fun out there.
When we come back, the latest on the Sacramento A's. Next with the Drive Guys on Sactown Sport. We will get to the latest on the Sacramento A's in just a moment. First, you know, the buzz over the Kings and their win last night just getting louder and louder. Drape says he may be able to come up with a slogan for us by the end of the show. We have some help for you. Are you interested?
Yeah, let's hear what we got.
So Drape says, you know, hey, we could still get the 5th seed. And it reminds me of some of those slogans like baseball teams have had, like, yes, we can. Why not us?
Right.
So he says he may work on something like that. Aaron on the YouTube chat says, stay alive for 5, fix for 6. Is that?
Nah, that's not doing it. That's not. Sorry, Aaron. That's not doing it. That's not doing it. Nah.
Right.
Nah.
That's not even say anything. You're alive for 5.
Right. We're alive for 5.
Yeah. Fix for six.
What does that mean?
Right? That makes me think you're taking your cat in to get a procedure.
Get fixed for 6.
Like, but appreciate the effort.
Good job, good effort, right? Yeah, well, I'll come up with something. I could do. Just give me some time, people. I'll come up with something.
Well, there's no, you know, no obligation.
Okay.
If it doesn't work, you know.
It doesn't work. Okay.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. TC is back with us. What's up, TC? Check it.
Sounds like TC can't hear me. Hello, TC.
You type it on your typewriter, TC?
What's up, TC?
Oh, no, I think his reception's jacked up.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to have to upgrade his call plan or something. He ran out of minutes or something like that.
So. All right. What are you hearing about the Sacramento A's, the Oakland A's? We know a meeting today. I've heard in around here that we could have an announcement tomorrow, Kyle.
Really?
I've heard that. Oh, yeah. It could be something tomorrow.
I would like to see the reaction when it does happen, because I'm monitoring social media. I'm listening to people call in and talk about it on the shows and everything. And seems like some people are split on, you know, should we welcome them with open arms or not? And I'm going to be honest. I'm going to just speak for myself. If we get the Oakland A's for 3 seasons here in Sacramento, I'm waving a flag. I'm all for it. Mm-hmm. I'm super excited. Because it gives us another professional team, maybe only for 3 years, yes, but they're going to leave Oakland anyway. They're going to probably, you know, if it's not Oakland or Sacramento, maybe Salt Lake, maybe Vegas early. I don't know. But the hypocrisy that's being spit out there, and Jay and I talked about this last week, and I talked a little bit about with you about it yesterday, you know, take Vegas out of the mix. And if Vivek and Mayor Steinberg held a press conference and said the Oakland A's are moving to Sacramento, take Vegas out. Let's say Sacramento was the first choice. I think a lot of people would be happy about that. A lot of people would be excited. Now, people may feel like in this case they're being used or whatever. I'm going to trust the city leaders. I'm going to trust Vivek that they think this will be good for the city. And so I would be all on board for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it almost looks inevitable at this point, which is incredible. It appears all signs seem to indicate that it's going to happen, that they're coming here. It looks to me, and I know Casey Pratt was talking about this or tweeting about this, and he obviously is a lot closer to it, but it looks like the play is for Vivek to get the A's here and then hope that Vegas falls through, which everyone who knows anything about it says there's a chance it's going to fall through. Then maybe you have a leg up on, well, now what are you going to do? Stay here or sell to me?
Right.
I think that's the play. We've heard that, well, we'll have 3 years here in Sacramento to show Major League Baseball how well we could support an expansion team. That's true, but that's a real long
shot. That's a long shot.
It could happen, but I think that's the play. Let's get them here. The thing that bothers a lot of people and bothers me too, but it's going to happen. I don't know what we can do about it, but it's just that, in a way, Sacramento is actively keeping the A's from staying in Oakland. You know, it's kind of actively and willingly getting in the way of Oakland's efforts to keep the A's. So that's, you know, it's a little untoward. That's why I think people are, anybody who had sympathy for Oakland and A's fans, and some of us are, you know, A's fans, even though we're not in Oakland,
right.
A's fans up here. So, you know, last summer, it's like, oh, man. Well, it'd be great if the A's could stay. Now you have Sacramento kind of getting in there and like, well, how about if you come here? Even though I know everything that's being said is, well, we think they should stay in Oakland, but if they don't, why don't you come here? So that's why I think people are having a hard time with it. To your point, I know there's also going to be a lot of people, and bless every one of them, who are going to say, I don't have time to care about any of that stuff. There's baseball down the street, and I'm going to go watch it. I get that.
It's knowing that this could potentially be good / great for Sacramento, what's your allegiances to? Is it to your friends in Oakland? Is it to the city of Oakland? You know, I view it as the city of Oakland and the A's have had plenty of time to come to some sort of agreement. They've had plenty of time to work this out. And I hear what you're saying about, you know, we're sort of helping the A's you know, Oakland to an extent.
Fisher has pitted Oakland against Sacramento, just like he pitted Oakland against Vegas. That's what he does.
Right.
He's had success with that, but that's the reality.
Right. And, you know, it And I saw some of Matt George's tweets, and this is where it gets sticky because we went through this with the Sacramento Kings, right? Yeah. And so it touches the nerve, no doubt about that. I will say it's the cost of doing business, though. It's the way business is nowadays. And like I said, if you threw Vegas out the mix and John Fisher announced, we're moving a team from Sacramento, does that make it feel any better? Do you feel any better about that then?
It would be a little different because at least they'd be in the region. You know, it would be kind of like when the 49ers went from San Francisco to Santa Clara. Mm-hmm. It's really awkward. It's difficult for a lot of fans. But now we'll see what's next. You mentioned the price of doing business. Maybe we shouldn't care, but I do wonder, well, what is Sacramento giving up? What is the city giving up to make this happen?
Yeah.
Is it just like, Mr. Fisher, whatever, you tell us what you need, and we'll do it. I mean, I hope not, but we got to find that out. And another thing I'm wondering about is, I don't know the answer to this, but I wonder if the players' union has any power here to say, what's this place you want us to play in? That's not a major league facility. We don't want to play there. I don't know, and that's not really having anything to do with what we're just talking about, but it's another potential wrinkle going forward.
Yeah, it is, and we've heard that. The Players Association come out and say, hey, y'all got to get this fixed. Wherever we're going to play, we need to know right now. And
it's incredible that it looks like it may be resolved very soon, but we're talking about next year and we still don't know where they're going.
Still don't know. That's remarkable. Right? Less than a calendar year away.
Yeah.
And we still have no idea. And I just think there's so many dominoes to fall, you know, whether it's the Vegas situation, can Oakland strike a deal? Does Sacramento have the infrastructure and the field and everything to occupy the A's? Like, there's so many moving parts here, so many unknowns. And like you said, let's say they do say, you know, you're coming to Sacramento. Would the Players Association be like, well, then what about our families that are living in the Bay Area? Like, mm-hmm. There's so many things that could still go wrong with this on many different levels. Like I said, if they're going to leave Oakland, which it looks like they are.
It does.
Come to Sacramento. I'm all for it. 3 years. And, you know, like you said, the play might be hoping that this Vegas situation falls through.
Right.
And since you're already here.
The scoop and score, baby.
The scoop and score. Exactly. And I know it sounds nasty, right? It sounds kind of dirty to do if you live here in Sacramento. But I see the play. I see it.
If you're Vivek and you want a baseball team, it's, you know, Major League Baseball team, your options are really limited. I get that. Baseball, they're going to expand someday, maybe, and maybe they would add two teams. And it's apparently just about a foregone conclusion that Nashville is getting one of them. That's not officially decided, but sources say and people in baseball say, oh, Nashville will be one of them. That would mean you'd have one other spot. And you'd be competing against all these other cities that have a big head start on landing a team. It would be a real long shot. So I understand if you're looking at it, what's our best chance to get a team? This may be, if I'm Vivek, this may be my best shot at getting a team.
Yeah, exactly, because the expansion thing, like you said, is a long shot. You got Nashville, you got Austin, you got Portland that wants to be in play for a team as well. And so this, like you said, this would be Vivek's best shot, already having something here. And did you see Casey Pratt's tweet lately? He said, you know, if they do come to Sacramento, Vivek, the Kings, the Rivercats, some of the staff there would help in terms of running the A's while up here.
Yeah, it also means that people who work for the A's, some of them
lose their jobs. Yeah, it's ugly, man. It's just a dirty business right now. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Just think if you worked for the A's, you wouldn't want to relocate to, oh, we got to go, nothing against Sacramento, but I would want to stay where I was, right?
Right.
So
right.
That's just obviously the actual cost of these things. But I understand fans who get excited about the thought of Major League Baseball at Sutter Health.
I mean, look, we're watching A's Red Sox.
At least one half. Right, I mean, one of the teams would be Major
League. Right, one of the teams. Exactly. It's all about who's coming in, right? It's not about having the actual A's here. It's about being able to see some of the opponents out there. And, you know, I'm looking at the YouTube chat. Amadrock says, as a Red Sox fan, I wouldn't mind seeing the A's play the Sox. I don't like what the ownership is doing to the team, though. And that's the dichotomy we have here. It's like, We like the idea of a major league team here. We just wish it was under different circumstances and with a different owner.
And then the end says, if we could keep the A's intact permanently, that would be awesome. And yeah, that's you're trying to pull off maybe a triple play here, but stranger things have happened.
Yes, and Manny too legit. I'd be stoked if the A's came to Sacramento. I'd be able to watch my first MLB game in person, and we get to try the ballpark food for the first time.
What?
See, there you go.
Never been to a game?
Dude, he might not want to drive down to Oakland or San Francisco
he's
or something.
He's waiting on Draves to hook him up.
He's waiting on some tickets.
Doesn't he have a cousin who's owns a major league team or something?
No, Manny too legit.
Manny.
That's Manny, not Compio. Not Compio.
Sorry about that.
Manny
too
legit.
Yeah, we got to
Compio saw
get you
Babe
to a
Ruth's
game.
First game, man. Yeah, he was there for Babe Ruth's first game, knowing Compio. So.
That's right. We're going to come right back with a look at C-Webb, who is coming back to Sacramento in a way. Next, Drive Guys, Sacktown Sport. Chris Webber coming back to Sacramento. Tell you all about it in just a moment here. Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. We have been talking about baseball. We think we could be very close to an announcement that the A's are going to move to Sacramento on a temporary basis for 3 years. I can't believe that. As I'm saying it, I'm like, what? So we don't know for sure, but it's certainly looking that way. We have baseball on right now. Of course, we have monitors. Our whole studio just wall-to-wall monitors. Every sporting event that's going on in the world. I don't know if you've been watching any baseball because you've been so busy with basketball, but I tell you, the game does move along very nicely now. The rule changes they put into place last year have really restored some necessary pace to Major League Baseball.
Yeah, what are they running? About 220 or something like that now? Is this live, this A's Red Sox game right now?
Yeah,
so anything under three, I'm all for.
Yeah, and we're seeing it. Yeah, and it moves along nicely, kind of like you used to way back when. So we'll we'll see. But this tells you a lot about where baseball is relative to other sports. You know, Monday night there was a no-hitter in baseball. It was nowhere near the biggest story of the night in sports. It was the women's basketball.
I heard about the no-hitter.
That's unbelievable.
I saw it briefly, and, you know, back in the day, 5-10 years ago, that would have been, oh, my gosh.
Iowa win over LSU. You've probably heard the ratings. Let's see. Outdrew all but one of the five games in last year's NBA Finals, along with the clinching game of last year's World Series. So 12.3 million viewers, which is great.
That's great.
When I laugh, I'm not saying, it's terrible. I'm just saying, you know, as someone who's been watching sports for a long time, it's hard to believe that the game is that much more popular.
Yes.
It's great, but it's like, outdrawing the World Series. That's amazing.
Yeah, that one game. I mean, shoot, we were sitting here watching it.
Yes,
you know,
in
here in our studio, and so the women's game, man, it's exciting. It's full of stars now too.
Yeah,
stars drive things.
That's true, huh?
You know, it's all about the star power. Yeah, and it's not to me. You know, the competitiveness has always been there. You know, it's just now. You know, Caitlin Clark is looking like Steph Curry out there. You know. Paige Beckers, you know, Juju, like, they're doing things, and it's like, wow, you know, it's sort of like Steph Curry. It's stuff we haven't seen, you know, at that level before.
In some ways, it's the personality more than the game they play. I remember talking to John Feinstein, great golf writer, about Tiger, and he was saying, you know, if Tiger did something else, he'd still be immensely popular. You know, it's not that Tiger's a golfer. The golf isn't the important part. It's the Tiger part.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what John said. Huh?
Yeah. So that's the thing, as you say, one of the reasons that women's basketball is so much more popular is because some of these, you know, Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark, it's like we're drawn to the personalities who just happen to be playing basketball.
Well, I wonder, though, you know, with that, does media create these personalities? You know, like look at the music industry, for instance. You know, like pop stars – if you have the money, the marketing, the backing, you can become big.
Yeah.
May not be the most talented, but because you have that, and I wonder, you know, in athletics, is that the same? You know, it's like we talked about with basketball. You know, De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis, as great as they are, They don't have the marketing machine of the Lakers behind them, the Knicks behind them, and they become bigger stars maybe in other markets.
They don't have the marketing of, a Carmelo Anthony,
oh,
who's a good player, but still, come on. Most overrated star ever.
Carmelo was a bucket. Come on.
Eventually was.
He was a bucket getter. Carmelo Anthony is the modern day Luka Doncic. Luka is the
Somebody just said that.
Luka made it to the one conference finals, but then been bounced out in the first round all the time.
Colin Coward said that.
Did he say that?
He said exactly that, and people piled on pretty good.
All right, I may have to take that back. If he said that, I may have to take that back.
Let's see. The game on ESPN, pardon me, the $12.3 million for the women's game. According to Sports Media Watch, the most viewed basketball game on ESPN since Game 7 of the 2018 Eastern Conference NBA Finals when the Cavs beat the Celtics, averaged 13.6 million.
Wow.
That's incredible.
That one game.
Yeah.
Every ESPN game since then, that's impressive.
Yes,
that's
yes.
impressive.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Hey, it's TC back with us on Sackdown Sports. Hello, TC.
Hey, my bad earlier, y'all. Hey, I'm at a tire shop trying to get my I'm trying to get my truck tire fixed. My bad, y'all.
Man,
we can hear you working with the keyboard.
Oh man, check it. All right, so let's check it out. Hey, look, we gonna run like this. Hey, that was a great team win last night. We needed Trey Lyles. We needed everybody, man. Davion, Keon, like you said, Drake. Look, we talking about the seven. Remember I told y'all the other day, I said, man, you know what? We gonna be seven. We got to get out the mud. Well, look, man, five and six is right there. All we need is the Magic to beat the Pelicans tonight, right? Mm-hmm. What about a game and a half back? A game back?
We're game back now, I believe. Well, you know, and then you had the tiebreaker, two.
Yeah, so all they got to do is go on like a little, a two-game skid or something? Let everybody go on a two-game skid, and we right there. But I'm telling you, look, the boys, hey, Simone, seriously, the boys is locked in right now. Now, hey, Drakes, I like how we are defensively. I love Monk. I love everything he brought, bro. But even before he got injured, bro, it was clicking. Now that he got injured, bro, it's really clicking. The team is really bought in what Mike was talking about. They kind of really realize, like, bro, we can score 110 a game, play defense and beat people by 10. Let's do that instead of trying to score 130 and it's a nail biter.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right. You're right, TC. Love
playoff basketball.
Check it, TC. No, he's 100% right, man. You don't have to score 120 every time. You know, you can, and the Kings have shown it over the last 8 to 10 games. You know, you can beat a team 109-96 or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, TC. Yes, Mike Brown said that's playoff style basketball. Yeah. Speaking of the playoffs, of course, Chris Webber was with the Kings when they were in the playoffs many, many years. And we have to credit, David Deuce Mason, I believe, on Twitter had this. Welcome back, Chris Webber.
Nah, the Kings put it out. The Kings sent out the email.
The Kings announced he'll be in Sacramento for the games on April 12th and 14th to promote his new memoir.
Yes.
Ooh.
C-Web coming back to town.
Yeah, I'm huge. Looking forward to reading that.
Yeah, and he's going to throw out the first pitch at a Rivercats game, too.
April 13th.
Yes.
Yeah, he was not always a big fan of the station.
But really?
Yeah, because, you know, we're always Webber doing the Chris, what's C-Web doing? And I don't think he liked all the constant.
We'll get him on the show here.
Come on.
Yeah, we'll get him
He's
on.
Been on a lot.
We'll get him. Yeah, we'll get C-Web.
That's awesome.
That's huge.
Such a great player.
Yeah, and that's one of the guys that doesn't come back often.
Yeah.
You know, and so when he does come back, and he's going to two Kings games, this Friday game against the Suns, I believe, and then the season finale
against the
Portland Trailblazers. Yeah, and so that's I hope Mike Bibby is there, too, like doing a pre- and post game. Can you imagine? You got Vlade, maybe, Brad Milt, like the whole crew, Doug right there. You know, it could be a reunion kind of night.
I have a dream.
Uh-oh.
I would love to see C-Web light the beam.
Now you're asking a lot. That would be
because, you know, sometimes the players you can tell – like Keegan, when he did it, it's like he couldn't wait to get out of there. And I don't blame him. But sometimes a player's like,
yeah.
So, I mean.
Okay.
Wouldn't that be something?
It would be something. You know, sort of like.
I don't think we're going to get Jerry Lucas to do it. I've been working on that. But
You know, we should do something. You know, Philly does the honorary bell ringer, before the games.
Uh-huh.
We should do the honorary beam lighter after the game, you know, and C-Web can do that, be the inaugural one or something like that.
Man, you know, he was a great player.
Yes.
Really unique talent, too, with the ability to – he was such a great scoring power forward – but combining that with the great hands he had and the great passing ability.
Passing ability to control the game, a great rebounder as well. You know, that foul line jumper, elbow jumper of his, that was money as well. And, you know, an all-time great on the Mount Rushmore of Sacramento Kings.
No question.
You look at what's so crazy about this. The year he averaged 27 points, 11 rebounds, 4 assists, and was fourth in the MVP voting that year. Like, think of it. Like, Domas is doing some great things.
Mm-hmm.
C-Web was fourth. Where's Domas going to finish this year in the MVP? He should be a top five based on the numbers. But I'm looking at C-Web's numbers, man. When he was here in Sacramento, unbelievable. Well, just unbelievable.
I'll be honest. When I first heard last year, and Dave might have been the first person to say it, Carmichael Dave, when people started suggesting last season that, hey, Domas might be better than C-Web. When I first heard it, I was like, I'm not even listening to anything you ever say again.
Right.
But it's gotten to the point now where, like, the way Jerry says it, he says, Weber's a better player, but Domas has actually been more effective here overall.
Yeah, I think so. But the only thing missing from Domas is the postseason success.
Yes, sir.
C-Web carried the team to the Western Conference Finals.
And he would have had more than those 4 assists, but he played with Vlade, who had a ton of assists.
Who had a ton of assists also. Yep. You're right.
Did Keegan's dunk impress you more than it impressed Trey Lyles? That's next here with the Drive Guys on Sac Town Sports.